Welcome to worship, everyone. I trust you've all enjoyed the better weather. We have once again been truly blessed in our meeting point outreach this past week. We had many bags of clothes donations this week, and Elsie and Eleanor have worked very hard to sort them out and get everything steamed and on hangers. Well done, girls. I've been busy in the cafe, especially on Friday when the wind dropped. We were able to sit outside, which was rather good. And Saturday was Kathy and Graham's wedding anniversary, so we will be sharing some cake after the service. Today we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, so if you wish to join in, please be prepared. The order of service can be downloaded. So let us now prepare to worship the Lord, for to be in your presence, Lord, is all we need. To be in your presence, Lord, is where we want to be. To seek your face, to lift you up, to sing your praise is all we need. Let's sing, to be in your presence, Lord.
To be in your presence, love, is all I need. To be in your presence, love, is where I want to be. Your presence, Lord, to seek your face, to lift you up, sing your praise is all I need. To be in your presence, Lord, is grace to me. To be in your presence, Lord, for eternity. To be in your presence, Lord, what an awesome place. To lift you up, sing your praise, to me is grace. You paid the price to tear the veil.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 23 we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thanks be to God for his word. Come, everyone, come to the shepherd, the one who guides us, the one who remakes us, and the one who will bring us to safety. Listen, the shepherd is calling. Listen, the shepherd is searching for you. Listen, he is calling you by name. Let us pray. God, our shepherd, you gather us into your kingdom and into your loving arms. You seek us out when we are lost. You rescue us when we are in trouble. You welcome us when we return home. Make us, your church, your people, into a sanctuary for all who are fearful, a place of healing for those who are broken, and a welcoming home for all who seek it. Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So let's sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you, and I will trust in you, Lord, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me. My ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his good delights, and I will
we're still in the Easter season, and so we continue our theme of responding to the resurrection. Last week we heard the account of Jesus meeting his disciples on the beach while they were fishing. His appearance had a double bonus. Not only did they see Jesus risen and alive, but also by following his advice, they caught a huge number of fish. At that meeting, Jesus commissions Peter to continue his work, and he gives him the instruction to tend my sheep. And we saw how the sheep Jesus is referring to were both the believers and those who still had not become followers of Jesus. Jesus wanted to gather all people into his flock, not for his sake, but for theirs. That simple demonstration of filling the disciples' nets was just a small foretaste of just what abundant life people could live as followers of the Good Shepherd. Over the centuries since then, many people have given their life to Jesus and become followers. But at the same time, many who do drift away, and that is a great loss to them, although often they don't realise what a loss it is until it's too late. This week, we examine how crucially important it is that those who give their life to Jesus remain in the flock, so to speak. And that's our theme for today, remain in the flock. Well, more of that later, but first we come to God in prayer, praise and worship. Let us pray. Lord, when our hearts are full of joy, we praise you. When our hearts are sad, we look to you. When we need a friend, we rely on you. Wherever we are, however we feel, we trust in you. Today, Lord, we come and worship you in this place as your people. With friends around us and you in our midst, Lord Jesus, we are content. We are reassured. We are confident. We are determined to share your love and draw others to your fold, to your praise and your glory. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your loving presence in our lives, for strength and guidance, for comfort and peace. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus, for his living and teaching, for his healing and example, for his dying and rising. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all that you have done for us, for all that you are for us, for all that you will be for us. Lord, we have so many questions, and we look for easy answers. We fail to hear your voice when you give us an answer that we don't understand. We have so many problems and we search for quick solutions. We fail to see your hand when you work in unfamiliar places. And we have so many needs and we demand instant satisfaction. And we fail to discern your gifts when they come to us in unexpected ways. Lord, when we are deaf to your word, teach us to listen to you in faith. When we are blind to your works, help us to watch for you in hope. When we are closed to your presence, make us open to you in love. You, Lord, are our shepherd, who restores our soul, who washes us clean and anoints us with the oil of forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your unconditional and undeserved forgiveness. Now we can go in peace. Amen. Let's sing "There Is a New Song in My Mouth."
Yeah.
Lord, today and every day we bring before you the needs of others and of ourselves. And after a week in which we marked 80 years since VE Day, we pray for those affected by current conflicts. We pray for the war-torn, war-weary nations of the world, where ordinary, everyday people just seek peace and comfort, food, drink and shelter to sustain and enrich them. God of all nations, in faith and with trusting perseverance, we pray for those suffering as a consequence of the policies and decisions of their leaders. We remember especially the ordinary, everyday folk of Ukraine, of Russia, of Sudan, of Gaza, of Israel, of Yemen, indeed, for everyone living in fear of their lives. Lord Jesus, be with them through their troubles and difficulties and wipe every tear from their eyes. Lord, we pray for the Christian church worldwide, that it may hold fast to the gospel message to love one another as you, Lord, have loved us. May your church seek and strive and yearn to speak of the love of God, proclaiming only God and not their own self-importance. Lord, we pray for the Christian leaders throughout the world, and we pray that the newly elected Pope, Leo XIV, will serve your people with the same humility shown by Jesus. We pray for church leaders who have lost their way, for those ministering in divided communities, for those in places where the church is marginalised, persecuted, or simply deemed irrelevant. And Lord, we pray for all those who do not take their faith as a priority in their lives, and for all those who have drifted away from the fellowship of their church community. Lord, we pray against other faiths that are seeking to destroy Christianity, even in our own country. Lord, we pray for the young people of our world, for children traumatized by war and violence, for those whose abuse goes unreported, for those preparing for exams, for those struggling to find their way in the world. Lord, be with them through their troubles and difficulties and wipe every tear from their eyes. And Lord, we pray for one another. We entrust to you those things that worry us, those situations we feel helpless in, those decisions that burden us, those losses that overwhelm us. Lord, be with us through our troubles and difficulties, and wipe every tear from our eyes. Lord, we pray for our families and our friends, for those we worship alongside, for all those on our hearts, and for those we know who are suffering in one way or another. And in a moment of quiet, we bring you their names. Lord Jesus, breathe your peace deep into the hearts of all for whom we pray, and fill them with the knowledge of your presence. Lord, despite all that is happening in the dark places of our world, our country and ourselves, we know and trust that the light of your love is still shining. In the midst of the darkness it's shining. So Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us and all the places and people we pray for. Set us all free by the truth you now bring us, and may the whole world come together in your love. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
So
So once again, we pause to bring our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Lord, as we continue to celebrate the most special of days, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, there's a danger that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, even in this close to having celebrated the Easter event, that we forget that precious moment when on the night he was betrayed, Jesus shared the bread and wine with his closest disciples, even the one who would betray him. He used the bread and the wine as symbols of his body and blood that was about to be sacrificed for the sin of the whole world. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Well, remember, there's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? Well, remember, there's wonderful power in the blood. So let's sing, There Is Power in the Blood.
There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Thank you.
So now we turn to our order of service for the Lord's Supper, and before we actually get to the Lord's Supper, we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, for when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what with you we can be, starting now. Amen. You know, whatever model of the church we adopt individually or corporately, our church has to be a church in which everyone is welcome. But it also has to be a church that understands the faith which we profess, which understands the fullness of life which it's possible to live now, and to inherit in the future as a disciple of Christ. Today's reading from Scripture describes the fullness of life that comes to us and through us to others from the power of Christ's risen life. In the reading from Revelation, which we're going to hear, we are invited to reimagine in the light of the resurrection what we mean by life and death, triumph and failure, power and powerlessness. In this reading, the attempt to describe the joy of those in God's presence uses negative terms. They will never hunger or thirst again. Neither the sun nor the scorching wind will ever plague them. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are such wonderful expressions of the joy that awaits us if we remain true to our faith, if we remain in the flock. In this passage we're going to hear, Jesus is described as the Lamb which was slain. God and the Lamb are worshipped by an innumerable crowd. But who would expect the Lamb, emptied of power, betrayed, tortured and slain, to be the object of worship? Then, of course, Christ's resurrection overthrows all expectations. Let's hear now from the book of Revelation. Well, the reading is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So here we see the Apostle John uses imagery to describe the vision of heaven that was revealed to him. Visions that have stood the test of time and are still recognised today. And Jesus too uses the imagery, that of sheep and lambs and of shepherds. And Christians throughout the ages have just loved the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Imagery which for the vast majority of today has no practical day-to-day meaning. Yet in Jesus' time, when many people lived in what we might call rural farming communities, this imagery was poignant and easily understood. Let's hear now from John's Gospel as Jesus is once again confronted by people anxious to know who he really is. So the reading is from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So the reading today from Revelation describes one of the many visions that Jesus' disciple, the Apostle John, had while he was in exile on the island of Patmos, probably the site of a Roman penal colony. John had been exiled to Patmos for his activities as a Christian missionary, since Roman authorities at this time were beginning to enforce the cult of emperor worship. Christians who held that Christ, not Caesar, was Lord, were facing increasing hostility. However, some within the Christian church were advocating a policy of compromise. Well, this has echoes of what's happening to Christian church today. Much of the problem within the church is being caused from the inside. Christians today advocating a policy of compromise on so many issues, from same-sex marriage to even questioning the necessity to attend church gatherings, and the acknowledgement and acceptance of other faiths. Even the king is going down this route. The Christian faith is based on the one triune God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It cannot be compromised. John writes to the seven churches in Asia Minor to encourage the faithful to resist staunchly the demands of emperor worship. He informs his readers that the final showdown between God and Satan is imminent. Satan, John says, will increase his persecution of believers, but they must stand firm even to death. John assures them that they are sealed against any spiritual harm and will soon be vindicated when Christ returns, when the wicked are forever destroyed, and when God's people enter an eternity of glory and blessedness. You know, visions are at the heart of the book of Revelation. John says these are revelations from God, hence the book of Revelation. 21 centuries later, it's hard for us to understand how these visions were understood by their first readers. What is clear is that it is writing that is highly symbolic. These visions or revelations provoke for me a real question about the role of visions and dreams for the life of faith in the 21st century. Many other figures in the history of the church have received visions or revelations, which they believed had significance for the times in which they lived. The word revelation or vision means to mentally perceive, to contemplate. And actually, our Bible study scripture reading emphasizes that vision is vital. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, we read, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." In effect, what is being said here is that those who have no vision, no perception of what they could be, seem to have no direction in their Christian lives. When we truly capture the vision of what God wants us to be and to do, that vision serves to define our task. We as individuals need that vision, and so does the church. But what are our visions for the church or for the world? I would suggest that the greatest vision we can have, both personally and as a church, is that we make a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. Of course, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We see this in Matthew 22, verse 37. And the great commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. Again, Matthew 28, verse 19. We today are just as much in need of encouragement as was the early church, probably more so as we have been waiting many more years for the return of Christ. We are also just as much in need of a call to stand firm against the demands of the secular world and other faiths. You know, being a Christian, being the church, does set us apart from the world in which we live. It just has to. For when we accept Jesus, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit directs all that we do. But this doesn't mean that God only wants some of us to be part of his kingdom, which is in effect saying that there will be those who will never make it to heaven. Although I'm sure if we were honest, there would be those we would not want to meet there. But God wants everyone he's created to be part of his eternal kingdom. to be part of his flock, so to speak, and just as important, to remain in his flock. The key issue is belief or faith. Those who truly know Jesus and consequently accept him into their lives are those who hear and see with the ears and eyes of faith, those who have a vision of what God wants us to be and to do. Jesus says, of course, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." You know, it's amazing how animals can pick out the voice of their parents. I was watching one of the David Attenborough documentaries recently, and one of the things that was on the show was that even very young animals among a great herd can pick out the sound of their mother. Of course, even a young child can pick out a parent's voice and respond. Christians just love the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It speaks to a world where we work hard to achieve a semblance of safety, where we are happy to be in the flock, protected by some superior being, especially when the going gets tough. But, for the most part, are happy to accept this comfort zone without taking any responsibility ourselves. We want to be in safe hands, but we're often content to accept no responsibility or make any effort to understand just what that means. We shy away from delving deeper into our faith. Another reason we cling to this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is because it's an image of someone kind and gentle. Well, that might be a cozy way of looking at Jesus, but remember the broader gospel picture of Jesus. It shows him in constant conflict with the political authorities and with the Jewish leaders. Hardly the image of someone kind and gentle. Remember the tables of the money changers in the temple, how Jesus threw them over. Hardly the actions of a gentle shepherd, meek and mild. In today's scripture reading from John's Gospel, we find religious men who meet with Jesus in the temple. They, like most of the Jewish people, are waiting for a Messiah. They are waiting for a safe pair of hands, someone who will restore freedom and glory to Israel. Of course, Jesus had many of the marks of this Messiah. Yet in other ways, he doesn't quite fit the picture. So they ask a straight question, and they expect a straight answer. "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." But the answer they get is not at all what they want or expect. Jesus answers, "The things I do by my Father's authority speak on my behalf." In other words, Jesus says, "The evidence you're looking for is in the work I am doing." And this is so true. And the people who ask the questions know full well what he's doing, but they are blind to the meaning of his ministry. And so his answer simply plunges his listeners into even greater uncertainty. And they respond in anger. Jesus' questioners fail to understand because they don't believe. Those who know Jesus, in other words, his sheep, are those who see and hear with ears and eyes of faith. How often are we content to sit back without question and rely on an image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd just because it makes us feel safe? Well, this is a false security. We can't understand who Jesus is or enter into a relationship with him just by accepting ready-made answers or images. We have to find out for ourselves. We have to make the leap of faith that will enable us to hear and recognize his voice, know who he is. And I mean truly know. There is nothing in all the universe which can take away from us the salvation and blessings which God has given us in Jesus. We will never wake up one morning and find that our salvation has somehow evaporated overnight. We are loved by God so much that we are locked into Jesus with total security. Nothing and no one can pluck us out of Jesus' hands, neither the devil nor any power in the world. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves us, come what may. But, and this is a huge but, for that love to be effective, for that love to secure us a place in heaven, we have to believe in God. We have to accept the love and grace that he has for us. And like it or not, we have to remain in the flock. And that means remaining in fellowship with other believers. But, here's another but, he doesn't say that this new life will be without challenge or danger. But he does promise to be with us every step of the way, even if we can't see him. And this journey takes place in the context of eternity, and those who make it are in safe hands. We really have to trust God. If we're to grow beyond the limitations of ideas and practices which make us feel safe, we have to have a vision of what God wants us to be and to do, both within and without the church. As Christians who are counted as sheep of the pasture, we have a duty to build the church into a movement that is relevant to our times and influential in bringing about justice and peace. That seems to be the issue that is not only dividing the church, but also seeing vast numbers of believers shying away from church fellowship. Do we really think that issues over the way services are conducted or the music we use are really important, so important that they can divide us against each other, or worse still, lead us to desert the fellowship of other believers? And that means that we as Christians cannot turn our backs on those who do not hear, but reach out to them with God's love as it manifests itself in our lives, whoever and wherever they are. My dear friends, whoever or wherever we are, or were, we can all hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and respond with cleansing fire in our hearts to follow him, safe in the hands of Jesus for eternity. No one can snatch us out of his hands. We remain in the flock. That's the faith we profess and come here today to celebrate. God is building a people of power. He's making a people of praise that will move through this land by his Spirit and will glorify his precious name. So our prayer must be, build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. And Lord, keep us in your flock. Amen. Let's sing. For I'm building a people of power.
Power, and I'm making a peace.
Let us pray. God of life and love, help us to go from here to live our lives to the full and to offer ourselves in service of those in need. Shower us with your love of gifts that we might use them to be a blessing to others in our community. Now may God, who raised Jesus Christ from death, raise us all to a new life, new hope, and fill us with rich blessings now and for eternity. And so we go in love and peace to serve the Lord and take care of his people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.